morning and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way. And we're excited that we have another day of grace that we can share this wonderful message that in the Word of God rightly divided. And we use the King James Bible for the English speaking people. And we're just knowing that it's a beautiful day outside, it's sunshine, and there's no snow on the ground, which is, that's a plus. But we enjoy spending this time with you. We'd like to encourage you to come and visit us. We are started a church in the Cambridge area. If you know anybody that's looking for a dispensational Bible church, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way, and it's a very unique way that God has dispensed the ages and His Word, and to acknowledge that will give you wealth of information. We know that God says that He wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, and we also know that all men's not going to be saved, and they're ever learning and never able to acknowledge the truth. So the thing is, you just got to stay there and stand and withstand and be able to stand in God's Word and not be tossed to and fro. And we encourage you to study with us, and by doing that, it will build the doctrine up in your soul that you'll be able to war off some things that's in your mind where your spirit is, and the battle is here, and we know it is a real battle, isn't it? We're made up of spirit, soul, and body, and that's the three parts that God has designed us to do, and each one of those parts plays a big role in who we are on this earth until we take that dirt bath, so to speak. Lift up the prayer requests and praise items, the people that sent us. We are thinking about you. We miss our old church in Canton, Ohio, and we know the saints there are studying diligently and being faithful for who they are in Christ Jesus. We also know that there's some other people that's watching us on our YouTube channel, our Facebook Live, even the Apple TV and Roku with the Boxcast. We're reaching out a lot of people. We thank you for that. We thank you for the technology that we're in. We're living in the greatest age that you could live in today. You know, we think about the good old days. Well, were they really good old days when, you know, you had no socks on your feet or shoes on your feet, or you're looking for the biscuit to eat during the day to get you through the day? We're living in some wonderful times, especially when we got that technology and ability to share with a click, a photograph, a voice, this wonderful message of grace. And, you know, if you were listening for the first time today and you never trusted Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, plus nothing, that's what saves you. And then when you get into that, when He saves you, now you have to get into His Word to understand what He's doing and what a difference that will make in anything that you do. And when you have the doctrine inside of you, once again, it makes a wonderful ability to discern certain things. You know, I posted on our Dispensational Bible Church Facebook page about over 28 years ago that some dispensational people came to Sherry and I and started sharing some things. Hey, you ever thought about the difference between law and difference between grace? And we're like, huh? You know, we never seen no distinction, because mainstream religion will teach you it's all one thing. And then, you know, talking about the difference what God dealt with Israel and what He's doing with the body of Christ. And that started resonating in our minds, and we started like, that's interesting. And then we started studying it out ourselves with the help of some good Bible teachers, and what a difference has them make. And it's been 28 years that people really try to pull us away or said, you know, try to teach us other things, but and many of them have fallen to the wayside. But the thing is, God wants faithful people. God wants faithful soldiers, and we are in a war. You know, we're in a spiritual battle. And I truly believe if you could see the spiritual battle that's waging above your heads with Satan, and that's controlling the first and second heaven, and even your spiritual battle, which you know you're fighting each day, it would probably wake you up even more so. So anyway, We just thinking about you guys. We want you to study with us and be encouraged that even though it seems like it's dark outside in a spiritual sense, you have life in Christ Jesus. And you get His Word inside of you, and what a difference does it make. We can still have fun. We can still do things that, you know, hiking and biking, and, you know, we love to do that anyway. But, you know, we know that we have life in Christ, and we have life more abundantly in ages to come, where we're seated in heavenly places for eternity. You know, my wife and I was out just the other day, and she's talking about, you know, how sunshine it was and how much glory it's going to be to have the real sun to shine, you know, when we're with Him for eternity. And that's the glory of God. We're going to shine like a rainbow. And you know, and it's just going to be awesome. So anyway, let's go to word and prayer. Father, once again, thank you for the time. We thank you for the things you've given us. And we think about the prayer requests and praise items. We think about the ones that are tuning in today via the live internet. And we know that you may be having some issues or some praise items and some prayer requests. And we just want to lift them up to you, dear Lord. In His name we pray. Amen. We're in lesson 21. I got me a little chalkboard here today, so I hope you can see that. I'll be putting the title of our messages and the lesson and the date, so you'll know. And when you look at that, you'll say, hey, that's what we're at. But I'm thinking I'm hoping that this will be the last lesson in Through the Bible. And we've been using the King James Bible as the authorized version for the English-speaking people, and we've been using a book called Through the Bible with Richard Jordan, and he goes through it in 7 hours. This is 21 lessons, so I think we can wrap this up today if you just bear with me. And then we're going to start Fundamentals of Dispensationalism. Now, this is going to be a long study. And we're going to go back through, and we're going to walk through the differences. And if you stay with us and tune in with us, you're going to see some wonderful truths that God had in times past, what He's doing but now, and what He's going to do in ages to come. And we're going to really break this down as far as the studies go. And it's one of the Bible curriculums that we use in Grace School of Bible. And I'm very thankful for that. I'm a 2004 graduate of Grace School of Bible. And since we started our church in 2005, we've been using the curriculum there. And, you know, we taught Romans a couple times. We taught Matthew. It took us almost, 2.5 years to go through Matthew, Ephesians and stuff. So there's certain books pertaining to us that we study to be able to help us, the body of Christ, understand what God's doing. So, with that being said, we're in lesson 21, and we're going through the Hebrews epistles. This is what the Hebrews epistles are called over here. We went through Pauline epistles, but now we're in the Hebrews epistles, and there's 9 of them, and we left off just describing the Hebrew epistles, and the Hebrew is the book of doctrine for them over here in ages to come to understand. They're going to be able to pick up the Word of God after we're taken out of here. Okay, we're not going to linger around and help the Jewish saints over here go through this tribulation period. We're not going to be able to do that because they're going to have the Word of God in their possession. They're going to have a group of people over here preaching to them, and people's going to hear the Word of God just like you and I have heard the Word of God. But now, come to understanding what God is doing today, they're going to understand what God is doing there. Okay? That's why it's Hebrews for Revelation and the Hebrews epistles. So, the book of Hebrews focus on the cross, their foundations of grace orientation. Now, remember what we talked about? All scriptures are given by inspiration or for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. You got to keep that in mind, how the Bible's lined up. And the book of Hebrews is a book for doctrine, to teach them about the cross. The next book after Hebrews is what? James. And James is a book of reproof. And it focuses on faith producing the fruits of the kingdom. Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And James is reproofing their behavior here. Okay? And I know what a lot of people says. We're going to read some verses in James, and a lot of people might get upset. Well, James says you got to do this, and Paul says you got to do this. Well, my understanding, Martin Luther wanted to tear the book of James out because it was confusing to him. Well, if you understand where God put the book of James and what time period, it all makes sense for what they're going to be doing over here. Not what you're going to be doing today, the body of Christ, but what the kingdom saints are going to be doing over here. So James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. So that first verse should tell you, who is it written to?
The 12 tribes.
Okay, very good. Abroad. 12 tribes scattered abroad. You're not part of a tribe. God's not dealing with tribes or nations, okay? He's dealing with a body where there's no distinction between Jew and Gentile. Now there is a distinction, okay? But it says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting what?
Nothing.
So here is something James is trying to tell the 12 tribes, hey, patience. You know, you're going to go through some things. Go to verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man religion is what? Vain. Go to chapter 2, starting with verse 14. Chapter 2, verse 14, and we're going to read down to verse 24. What doeth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and he have not works, can faith save him? There's questions there. If a brother or sister be naked and was a destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding ye give not them not those things which are needful to the body, which doeth it profit. Even so, faith, if it have not works, it is dead being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without works, and I will show thee faith by my works. So there's a difference there. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? But by works was faith made perfect. And the scriptures was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Well, that's totally different what Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 4, verse 5. The book of James is reproofing their behavior, the way they're acting right out there. So when they're in this kingdom program, they're going to be able to show their faith by doing works. Okay? They're going to give that coat to that cold person. They're going to give that biscuit and gravy to that person that's hungry. Okay? They're going to work some things out. Matthew chapter, hold your finger in James, Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, verse 43 says, Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. See, remember what Matthew was about? Matthew was talking about a what? King in a kingdom. And he's saying, I'm going to take this kingdom away from this nation Israel and give it to a group over here that's going to produce what? Fruit. In any part of your spiritual life, you want to produce fruit. Okay? You really do. You know, what a, you know, we was out in Arizona a couple weeks ago, and they had grapefruit trees, didn't they? And they had lemon trees, and it was just wonderful to be around that fruit, that tree that's producing fruit, and to be able to take that and eat it that morning. It was a wonderful thing. But anyway, I love fruit. You love fruit. Everybody loves fruit. But do you ever ate a rotten fruit? You know, you ever went to an orchard or out in a field knowing that there was a tree out there once and now it don't produce? So anyway, they're going to have to produce fruit over here. And that's what the book of James is about, the reproving their behavior. Next, you have the book of Peter. But the book of Peter, 1 Peter, it focuses on hope, looking beyond that fiery trial. They're going to go through a trial over here, tribulation, times of Jacob trouble, and they're going to go through some things, but guess what? They're going to have hope. They're going to look in the Word of God, and they're going to see hope in the Word of God. In today, in the dispensation of grace, do you go through tribulations?
Yes.
And patience, and experience, and hope. What is your hope today? Hope is that the Lord's going to take you out of here and you're going to spend eternity. Okay? Some of our saints have gone and passed away. But their hope is not in vain. Their hope's not dead. They're going to rise up first. So, anyway, 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter is a book of correction. It's going to correct their behavior over here. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, I probably butchered that word, Asia, and Bethany, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkle of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundantly mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Christ from the dead. You got that? What's he saying? Hey, they're knowing they're going through some tribulations over here and the bodily type of thing. So Peter is reproofing their behavior. Chapter 2, verse 19 through 23. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffered for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Verse 22. Who do no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth? Who, when he was revived not again? When he suffered, he threatened not. He committed himself to him that judges righteously. So once again, what is he correcting? Their behavior. He got an example. Okay, was that a spiritual example or a physical example? It seems to be very much physical. That's why the words example in Paul's letters makes a difference. Go to chapter 4, verse 13. through 19. But rejoice in so much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye have reproach for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resists upon you. On their part is the evil spoken of, but on your part is his glory. But let none of your sufferings as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other man's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteousness scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Chapter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am I also as an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Verse 7, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. That's a good hope for them over there. Because they're going, that Antichrist is going to crank down on them so hard, they're going to like, what in the world I'm doing? Listen, you have not, until the day you was born, till the day you're still with us, some of you, have not suffered or going to suffer like they're going to suffer over here. Okay? We really have it made in the dispensation of grace. Grace and peace. It's not... And God's long suffering, and he's not imputing trespasses and sin against us. We should be very thankful for that. Over here, it's going to come down. Okay. Listen, I'm going to add this to you. If you die today unsaved, it's going to come down on you over here. Okay, and you're going to end up over here in the firing pit. Now, Second Peter is what we say. Doctrine, reproof, correction. Okay? Second Peter is a book of doctrine. They're going to learn some things. They're going to advance their learning from the Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. Now you're going to Second Peter, and they're going to learn some things about focus on that church there, that kingdom church, and guarding against the seduction of Satan's lie program. That's very, very important for them, same as very, very important for us today when we study Paul's epistles. You know, it's hard for me not to bring Paul's epistles into it for us today because we're studying this right here, and this is really not to you, okay? It's for you. We're learning about it, but it's not to you. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring unto themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they be vain words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of the long time lingered not, and their damnation slumbered not. You got to get understanding what Peter is saying to them over here, what's happening in that church, are going people come in. You notice that word merchandises? I can't get away from that. You can't get away from that. What that the king of Tyrus and the prince of Tyrus, there was caught trafficking, not called, they're going to be trafficking and merchandising of everything. So I think about what's going on in the world today. You know, I hate to say this. Well, I'm not going to hate to say this. I want to bring this to light. The human trafficking that's going on, whether it's the child abusing and human trafficking. It's a industry. It's merchandising. Okay? They did it there. They're doing it today. They're going to do it over there. Merchandising people, everything. They're going to make money off of that. And that should wake you up. Chapter 3, verse 1, the second epistle, this second epistle, beloved, I'm now writing to you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance. Okay? Some of us, we know that we're saved. Okay? Some of us, we studied the Word of God, rightly divided, and then we get away from, hey, you need to stir that up. Verse 2, that ye may be mindful by the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lust. So that doctrine, Peter is sharing with them about better guard that church over there. Same as we need to guard our church over here. Paul talks about last days. Peter talks about last days. There are two different types of days there, but this right here is coming down. What's after the book of doctrine? Reproof. That's what, go to 1 John. The 1st, 2nd, 3rd John are focused on the tests necessary for detection of error and discerning the truth. They're going to reproof their thinking. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing, but their thinking is messed up. Okay? Much like, well, we done went through that. I don't want to keep bringing that up. But you got to think about this right quick. 1 John chapter 1, starting verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declared unto you, that God is light and in him no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. That's a big to-do over here, okay? Big to-do. They're testing each other over here. They're testing. Chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, as ye have heard, that the Antichrist shall come, even now that there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is in the last times. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not with us. Verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. That's a good thing, isn't it? There's no lie of the truth. Who is a liar, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, he is the Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. You see what's going on there? The detection stuff. Chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. Chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. Chapter 4, 1 through 3. Beloved, Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Here, we're going to read down to verse 3. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it that shall come. And even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Very much testing there going on. Very much testing. So the next book, Doctrine and Proof, is correction. The book for Jude over here. Jude is saying, Jude 3 and 4. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Jude is continuing focus on the continuum of that faith, correcting their mind, okay? Then you had the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation is doctrine, okay? You won't find reproof, there's none needed there. You won't find correction, there's none needed there. Much like Thessalonians is to us. It's a book of doctrine, reproof, correction. You have it all there, but we're out of here when that takes place. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is faithful, witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loveth us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are becoming the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Verse 21, chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Verse 1 through 6. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there were no more sea. And I saw John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and they shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. That's going to be a great day, isn't it? And he shall sit upon the throne said, and he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto them, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto them, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is thirst of the fountains of water of life freely. So once again, doctrine, Hebrews, focus on the cross. Reproof, James, focus on the cross. Correction, 1 Peter, focus on the cross. Doctrine, 2 Peter, church. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, reproof, church, over here. Not the church, the body of Christ. Correction, church, Jude. Then you have doctrine, the coming, the revelation. No reproof, no correction needed because they're going to have it. It's done. Okay? It is done. Those are in Christ Jesus. Now, we got a few more things. How are we doing on time? Oh, we're doing good on time. Downshift a little bit. No, just joking. Followed doctrinal links that were talked about identify the issues in the following epistles. Go to Hebrews. Go back to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Verse 20 through 22. Hebrews 13, verse 20 to 22. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead of our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in the sight of through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Verse 22. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. That what we just read, anticipating putting the doctrine in practice in James. So he's anticipating that the next book is James. Put this practice into work. James chapter 5. It's sort of like you've got the doctrine. Now how you want to work that doctrine is put it in James. Much like you got the doctrine in Romans for the body of Christ. How are you going to put it? You're going to start working it in Corinthians. With me? That's what we talked about several lessons ago. James chapter 5, verses 7 to 11. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of our Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth at the door. Verse 10. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for the example of suffering afflictions and patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and has seen the end of the Lord. That the Lord is very, pitiful, and of tender mercies. James anticipating the persecution and sufferings in 1 Peter. So he's telling you something here. He's telling you, don't have patience. The patience of Job. You know when Israel was down in the desert for 400 years? You know they had the Word of God. And they had the book of Job. And Job taught them patience and patience. And you know there are probably people just, we want it now. We want to get out of here now. We want our country back. You know, just there. Patience. patience. And that's what God teaches us through his word, patience. And I know many of us, and I'm guilty sometime too, I want it now. I want to see the world, Lord working. I want to get out of here type of thing. Patience. Patience. And that's anticipating what 1 Peter's getting ready to talk about. What we looked at, the book of correction for Peter, because the behavior was wrong. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resisteth steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. See what Peter's doing? See what James was telling you about, having patience and all that stuff? You think Israel had some glorious days being slaves down in Egypt? No. They was like, they knew the Antichrist was there. They knew who Pharaoh was. They knew the temptations and the destruction and stuff of them. But patience. So it anticipates the activity of the adversary in the sufferings of 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. All this follows right in line with how those books are designed. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. Yea, therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. 2 Peter anticipating advance issues of resisting the seduction of the satanic policy of evil of John's epistles. Okay, 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Verses 19 through 21. And ye know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth is in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come and have given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is in true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. That is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Amen. That anticipates the wickedness engulfing in the whole world of Jude. Jude verses 22 through 25. And if some have compassions making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Verse 25. To the only wise God, our Savior, to be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. What? Amen. Jude anticipates the end results of God's judgment and the glory of Christ reigning in Revelation. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22. Verse 18, 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Revelations anticipates that there is nothing more to link. It is all done. And God has revealed all of his needs to about the future and its purpose to glorify Him through Jesus Christ. Listen, we just went through the Bible, okay, in 21 lessons, and you can go back to our website and go back through every one of them. But you see just what little lessons that we did is very, very profitable. Mm-hmm. And when you take the Word of God, rightly divided, it's going to open up the whole world of knowledge that God has in his Word.
Amen.
And we have to take this seriously when you use the Word of God, okay? My Word, we always say that you have God's Word, you have Satan's Word, and then you have Ed's Word, okay? And Ed's Word is just a man. And my Word does not mean a hill of beans, okay? Satan's words don't mean a hill of beans. God's words means it all,
amen.
Okay? And that's exactly what happened in Genesis chapter 2 when Satan deceived Eve. He introduced not only his thinking, God was there, Satan was there, and there was other gods. He introduced human viewpoint, okay? And that human viewpoint, our own minds, can deny the Word of God, can deny creation. They can deny Satan. But that still leaves your viewpoint. And your human viewpoint, your natural way, your natural man will always resist God's Word. Okay? But that natural man is going to die. And you have a God conscience inside of you. I mentioned spirit, soul, body. That God conscience inside of you right now is always searching for God. Always searching, really searching what's right. And if you put a callus, if you keep denying, you're going to have a callus over that soul, okay? And the Word of God may not ever penetrate that. Because God always gives you the choice, okay? He don't want a bunch of robots around here. And that's one thing He never denied Adam. Adam knew what to do, okay? Adam walked with God, but Adam made the choice. And God never violates your choice to choose. And people say, well, how can God send this person to hell and this? God didn't do that.
Amen.
You did that. Okay? God's Word is plain, clear, black and white on the pages of His book. And the design that's on there, you can see it, what He did. There's always a time in times past, but now in ages to come, that God is going to have a plan of salvation for everybody. That's why you need to know about dispensational truth, how God is dispensing that. God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the way He's dealt with man has. Listen, God's got a bar of standard right here. And He does not drop that at all. Many of you know I do CrossFit, okay? And we have bars of required weight, required RX, we call it. And you know, if it says to pick up 135 pounds at my age group, then I have to pick up 135 pounds and do certain movements. If I cannot, okay, and I drop down to 105 pounds, that I know I can pick up probably one hand, no, just joking, pick it up, is the fact that now it's scaled. You with me? The standard's still here. But I scaled down. God don't do that. Okay? Man does that. So the standard of perfection in God's holy word is the cross and what He did at Calvary. And He never ever drops that down for anybody. Even in the dispensation of grace, where He's not imputing trespasses, there's still a standard how you get salvation. How do you get delivered from the lake of fire. Okay? The first initial salvation that you and I need to understand that we're sinners. We're going to die. Every man's going to die. If the Lord takes us out of here right now, this body's going to die. Okay? Because this body's never good enough to go to heaven. But that first initial salvation, deliverance, stand still. Moses said, stand still and see the deliverance. Okay? That he takes your soul, your spirit that was cut off from God, and you're serving other gods. He takes your spirit and he saves you and he places it in his body, okay, by the cross that you trusted in, that you died and buried. Right. He saves you initially and it's settled. Then, in the dispensation of grace, we talk about work out our salvation with much fear and trembling. Okay? What is salvation? Deliverance. You're not going to continue to work out your eternal destiny, okay, once you're saved. It's already settled. You work out this salvation, this warring flesh that's going on all the time, all the time, all the time. Stop, I don't want to do this. Do this, do that. I find myself doing things I don't want to do. That's the salvation you work out with fear and trembling, that you're going to. Then you have the ultimate salvation, the catching away, the rapture of the church. You're out of here, delivering from this evil world. That's going to be a great day. And even when we're taking out of here, and when God starts dealing with time past, he's going to start, Israel's going to have a favorite nation status again. Gentiles is going to be down here. This time period over here is going to have a glorious day to it, finally. But they're going to have to go through some time periods over there. I truly hope that this study has helped you. I know it helps me. I can go back and start lesson one more. You know, I love teaching this. And the more you teach it, the more you learn it, the more you grasp a hold of it, what a blessing that God's Word is. You don't have to be scared of it. You know, some people don't want to pick up God's Word because they're scared what it might say. Hey, if you're saved, what are you scared of? You know, there's some things in here I don't understand. I'll be the first one to admit. And I hope I never get that age where you can't teach me. Mm-hmm. Or I'd say, I did. No. God's Word's laid out for us. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the things to give us. As we think about many things that we have in you, what a blessing it is to know that we are secure, we're safe, and we're sealed for eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, if you want to visit us on our website, it's dispensationalbiblechurch.org. There's a donate button there if you want to donate to the ministry. If you want to come and visit us, we're on East Pike Road in Cambridge, Ohio. I'll put the little flyer up, which you can't probably see unless you zoom in. And we have a church here. I know that the Chinese virus has got some things kind of mixed up and people, you know, staying at home. That's fine and dandy. If you want to visit us, you may. We got plenty of room here. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to see you. You can also get us on our YouTube channel and our Boxcast app. Boxcast is a wonderful thing. That's one of the things we pay for to get the broadcast out to many platforms. We'd love to hear from you. Text us, email us. Got a text this morning from a lady out in Columbiana, Ohio, in that area, and want to know about our services and stuff. And Columbiana's a little bit dry, but you know something? We used to drive, was it 45 minutes?
Yeah.
45 minutes and pass probably 150 churches just to go to hear the truth of God's Word rightly divided.
Amen.
So don't worry about the drive. We only meet one time Sundays morning, so come and hang out with us for a while. Might go to Cracker Barrel or something. But anyway, we love you in Christ Jesus. Until next week.